big topics on here as well. Some topics that I think we've talked about each year, but to get some clarity for this coming year, infrastructure, pathways, town hall expansion. So you've completed the assessment, the space needs and such. So kind of maybe we can hear a quick update and then talk about what that looks like for the coming year. And then parks, we also heard about whether or not, and maybe this rolls into the conversation we just had about the survey, that might be where that lands. But, you know, what's the community interest and appetite generally?
Can I comment?
Yeah.
So these are all big, long-term things.
That's right.
This, to me, illustrates that a lot of these things have a very high-intensity initial stage, a long gestation, and kind of a conclusion, where town expansion, we had a lot of sturm und drang, got it figured out, you know, went to got some approvals, now we're getting to kind of the nuts and bolts and costs and all big stuff, but, you know, it will come up to us, and we'll talk about that. Meanwhile, parks needs, you're in the head end, which is, has all this trying to figure out the data, and we're going to probably spend more, you guys are going to spend more time this year on that, because it's in the beginning, and clearly is a big issue. The master plan, I want to hit is that, in a way, we're towards the tail end. We certainly suffered last year by not having the staff to sort of be able to do some of this, and some of the more specific ones, they're going to work their way through. We'll go back, you know, the pathway can get their latest comments on it, we've got the information on it, you know, some of these paths, and we'll decide yes or no on it, get it done. There are a couple big questions buried in that about the annexed areas, which we as a committee, which a council, will have to sort of deal with from a policy perspective, which is we're not going to get to, you know, the Planning Commission's not going to solve that for us. We've been having to face that. So I expect that sometime this year, I hope this year, we'll face that so we can, because that's really the only thing holding, yeah, there'll be some time spent on the specific ones, but those, there are a couple policy questions that we have to deal with somewhere in the year, so I hope we'll get that done.
I'm sorry Steve's not here. How many remaining unresolved areas? We're down to just three or four, aren't we?
Yeah. There's one more going to Planning Commission, and it's actually gone back and forth. It was already council, went back to Planning Commission, and then there's the last two or three pieces will be coming back to council, ideally in the April time frame.
Yeah.
And then you'll do your final resolution that amends the master pathways plan.
Yeah.
So I think so to me, that's going to work its way through here.
I do think it's important to reiterate. Individually, it is my highest priority to see it finished before I leave office. I have worked on it from afar for multitude of years, counting before council. So I am eager to see it.
So I know Anne may not feel this way, but it really is towards the tail end of it resolving, because it does feel like it's gone forever. So I think that's going to, I don't think we need to add any effort to it, because it's going to come in to us, and we're going to deal with it.
But again, I think the intention here is to really underscore
absolutely
a lot of interest in making sure that next year you're celebrating. Woo-hoo!
Yeah, hopefully this won't, be on here.
Celebrating before she leaves.
I'm wrapping presents with the old maps.
You have to send pictures when you do that.
I think it's just a renewed commitment to finish all what we started. And that's what I
want
to hear.
We aspire to that. I think all of us agree.
Yeah.
On the staff, yes.
Mm-hmm. Everybody. Yeah, that was a universal, but I don't think you want to not have it there because it's critical.
Totally agree.
All right, town hall. And so there was, I think the description was quite good. For a lot of these things, there's a lot of energy expended until you get to the point of, okay, now go, right? But there's still a lot of work that has to happen in the go part.
But that's a success we can celebrate, because when this item came to the city council for final approval, nobody showed up.
No, five of us showed up. I'm sure, on record. We know who the nobody is you're referring to.
Four of you, I'm excused.
Oh, yeah, you're
excused.
That's right.
That's
right.
I got kicked out.
You just heard the jubilation from the outside, right?
Well, going forward, we just want to make sure we're on track with, you know, completion in terms of
no
cost,
changes.
No changes. We just want to make sure that we're still on track.
I can give you a quick update on that. So we're currently soliciting bids for construction drawings for phase one, which will be creating a conference room right behind you there. We'll be getting those bids and selecting an architect here within the next month, getting those construction drawings, and ideally we can go out for construction bid before the end of our fiscal year. Phase two, we're getting the RFP ready to get a design professional to do construction drawings for that. with a target of summer or fall to go out to bid for construction on that. So, yeah, it is in the nuts and bolts behind the scene. Now we're putting together all the technical drawings necessary, resolving HVAC questions, window and door exiting, all those technical things that we take conceptual to construction level. So that is moving forward, and actions will be coming up to you or updates as it progresses, but you'll definitely see progress this year.
And Zach, what are the parameters you've used to reach out to architects and construction companies? How are you deciding which ones to ask for RFP, or you're just setting it out of the market? How are you doing that?
Phase one, which is a much smaller project, it'll actually be a pretty small design contract to do that, which is just the conference room. We reached out to four specific architects, and so we're in communication with them. We put it out there to anyone that wants to give us a proposal. The second one edition will be a little bit more widely broadcast. We'll reach out to targeted architects that we'd like to get a proposal from to ensure we get good quality proposals, but then we'll be working with anyone who's interested and wants to give us a bid.
All right. Any other questions? Okay, we'll just see how this progresses. Michelle.
So others, I will, like I mentioned earlier, we had a discussion about the digital investment, and I think that it was separated into a broadband infrastructure, or fast internet broadband infrastructure, mainly gigabit infrastructure right now. That's kind of come into together with the fiber or 5G, maybe 10 years down the road, 6G, whatever the G is. I mean, if you go to Stanford right now, they have Stanford Shopping Center, they have this Samsung that has a huge 5G there, and we were just talking about it. So I went to the store, I said, what is the 5G is really available? Verizon and Sprint. T-Mobile actually the leading, and Sprint and Verizon is catching up. So what I want to say is that the infrastructure, perhaps we can put this on the map and take a look at it. My personal technical study showed that the 5G is not quite applicable to this town because of the technical issue, not because of anything else. But a fiber will be somehow, maybe could be also brought up in consideration with the underground. I don't know how that's going to work. I'm just saying that I think fiber seems to be, in my understanding, would be worth to consider throughout this town.
So maybe that can be a part of the survey component when you're asking people.
Sure, put in a survey.
Underground, when they're going to dig, they think dig one's going to
be. In terms of fire, Roger.
The question is, I look at the green arrow, what do we hope to accomplish this year about in that topic? Do we need to do anything this year?
Well, if you want to put in a survey, I would like to see bring up the the internet broadband servers, at least the gigabit servers. Faster, so we accommodate a lot of internet applications, apps, especially autonomous driving. You talk about autonomous driving, you need a much faster.
What would you ask? Would you be asking whether people want it or not?
Would
or
you like to have a faster internet? Is the speed you have, is the service enough? How
no.
Of course they'd like to have a
faster internet. I don't think you deserve it. But
I mean, if everybody want to have a faster internet speed, then we should work on it. We should move towards it.
Well, that's
but is it the role of the city or the role of me as a homeowner to get faster internet speed?
We can't.
Okay, so now I go home and I tell my husband, I want it. Yeah. Or do I come down here and I tell Carl, I want it. And at some point, somebody's got to deliver or I'm going to keep saying it.
Okay.
So do we as a council feel like it has risen to that level that our residents are demanding, I want it from the city as a municipality to provide it, and at what cost? And so I would say, to your point, and to the great job George has already done on the undergrounding and taking a small sample size and getting some cost data, get us the information on costs and per square foot, kind of per linear mile, however you want to do it, and we'll include it in the survey. And let residents understand, you may want it, but what is it going to cost? And are you willing to pay for it? And once we have that information, I think it's worth pursuing. But without that, it is just... Do you want it? Yes, I want it.
So I think that this is a parameter of the survey discussion we had, which was to say within a
special dollar amount.
I'm talking about, here's the two things. Let me clarify that. When I talk about infrastructure, it's not to the resident, not to the homeowner. Infrastructure is owned by the town government or the infrastructure by the vendor like AT&T, Comcast. the infrastructure has to be there in order for us residents to receive the servers. Without placing the infrastructure, broadband infrastructure, gigabit servers, no matter how much I want to pay for it, I'm not going to get it. Some part of the town don't even have the internet servers right now. Okay. We need, as a town, provide the infrastructure, just like FCC funded $20 billion to the rural community. You got to provide that infrastructure. Same as a power line. If you don't have a power line, no matter how much I want to pay from the street to my house, I'm not going to get a power until you have
a
power.
Are you suggesting that the city needs to be in the business of providing that, though? I mean, I think that's a huge topic.
That is the infrastructure improvement. One of the things that, like I said, it will be 5G come up to the council, and the fiber is something that can go underground. It doesn't have to go to underground. It can be going to the pool, going to anywhere. I mean, I'm hoping that the fiber will go underground as part of the consideration, but this needs to be a little bit separate because it's a really a broadband infrastructure.
So we need to pay for the fiber to go underground.
Right, let me just pause it here, because I think that based on the conversation around the survey before and knowing limited budget and such, that if you're going out and asking residents, you know, with choices, right, what are the things that you most value and prioritize that you think the town should be investing in and prioritizing, that can inform a broader conversation. So I think that may be the best angle for this next year. Because again, just like undergrounding, these are not things that happen in 6 months or 12 months even. And so maybe kind of getting that additional information to inform that the conversation would be an option for the coming year.
Yeah. I mean, I'm fine. I'm just a big advocate to think about having the faster internet, and before we can happen, we just need to have a good infrastructure. I don't know the solution. I don't know the answer. Maybe this town just doesn't need it. I'm just kind of
I want to make sure you're confusing. You're using language that makes it sound like you're for it and the rest of us are against it. We're all for it.
Yeah.
Let me be clear. We're all for it.
Yeah.
And we would all support it if we could afford it. But we have to have more data to understand. And I think how it gets implemented is a policy question. Is it a private sector job to provide internet throughout town, or is it the city's job? And if you want to have that dialogue, I'm happy to have it. But, boy, this is the first I've heard of it.
Can be both. It can be municipal.
Well, let's not have it here.
Yeah, we don't want to debate the policy questions today because this is not the forum for that. But you raise this as an issue, and you know, this is the topic that we know other communities, small communities like Atherton, they've been exploring this and looking at private funding. You know, is there an appetite? First of all, what's it going to cost? And do we have private resources?
I was approached by Palo Alto. They want to say if we are interested in team up with Palo Alto for the municipal fiber.
Right.
So as things opportunities present themselves, it sounds like that can be a policy conversation for council.
So, and I think Michelle as well. We've heard from at least half a dozen residents who say that the town should form some kind of municipal fiber corporation. In other words, we need to compete. And my question was, well, why isn't private money funding this? There's tons of money in this area. Well, then Comcast will be a competitor with Comcast. And private money knows that, but public money, you know, you don't expect to make profits or anything. But so it is a policy question that residents are asking us. You know, they are saying we think the town should step up in this arena. And I've heard from about six, and I'm sure there's people then behind that.
Yeah, well, and understanding what the options are, right? The different approaches that could be utilized and evaluating those. Okay. All right. Well, we've recorded the conversation. There we go. Conversation here. So we'll make sure that this comes as a part of your report back. Okay. All right. Well, so we skipped over parks, which we identified as something that's got some energy in some ways now. So I'm going to go back to that one to have some conversation on what the next year might look like. What are some of the things that are necessary to explore and discuss and decide on?
I think it's already taken care of. I mean, at least it's assigned, and it's a huge project. So I appreciate that these two folks here will be spending some considerable mental effort trying to get the, both the needs and the read of the community. So.
I guess I just want to say, let's not also forget that we'll be making improvements on our existing Prisma Park with the Prop 68 grant. We have yet to get our allocation from the state, but once we do, we'll make sure council knows so that we'll be moving forward with a multi-purpose building on site, as well as a session area. To diversify the usage of that existing park.
God, so this may be slightly off topic, but I would like to communicate in front of my council and staff that I do have some concerns about the concept that came up at our recent council meeting of a pop-up park down there. And I know it's still in committee. I'm sure it would come to us at some point. But it concerns me that in theory would then become a de facto sort of a squatter's rights thing, you know, where, oh, see how great it is, and now we would be stuck in a situation where we don't have any way to untangle it. So I want to use this opportunity in a public meeting to say I do have some concerns about that, and I hope that as staff and as whoever's the liaison to that committee is helping guide that conversation early on in ways that prevent that from being an outcome.
Message heard. I think that from the last meeting at the committee, I got the sense that even most of the committee is still trying to understand what it really means.
Yeah.
And Blea, correct me if I'm wrong, there's differing amounts of energy initiative there to make this happen.
Once is fine. Weekly, right. I'm a little nervous. All the time, all summer for 40 days, I don't know, whatever.
So I'm not aware of pop-up park issues.
Okay, let's get it up. What are we talking about here?
So I don't know what
report of the last council meeting.
Was
it? I think this is worth taking a little off-topic digression too, because it's central to the parks thing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to look for Sarah to correct me. I'll make an attempt, and you can tell me
if
wrong.
There's anything.
I think it is a well-intended attempt to both build some resident energy for using parks, as well as testing whether there is an audience for parks in that area for families with young kids, specifically. With the pop-up, what I see it as is they're defining a certain number of days in the summer when, hey, at this time, a lot of us are going to show up and we'll bring toys and things to make a little event out of being there with
you. So this is like what they do in downtown Los Altos.
Right.
But I think the difference, though, is it's already at an exist. What they're talking about is at Prisma Park, which is already a park, a pop-up park. And this is what was addressed a little bit at the Parks and Rec meeting, is that typically a pop-up park is typically an urbanized area that is converted to a park. For example, downtown, downtown green. So I think there's confusion on if they're talking about a play group, which Chris and I have, you know, that being said, we had a play group that I reached out to the two committee members who are really interested in something like this, asked how we could retool it because we had a play day that nobody showed up to last year. So retooling that, we've gotten different times that are available and doing that on a smaller scale. But I think there's some divergence on what a couple committee members would like, what staff can accommodate, and so... Moving forward, we have a much smaller version, which is similar to what the staff proposed last year, with some of their comments to tweak it to try and highlight what we already have. But to Courtney's point, I was, I guess, brought to to light at just this last meeting how they wanted it on the fields, which that wasn't the intent of staffs when building this out. So I think there's just a little bit of a different view of what the ask is.
That's exactly my question. If you want to have a pop-up park, and so my group is going to be there 3 p.m. Tuesday, and then you get this baseball team coming over and playing, is that going to cause a problem? I mean, you have a baseball, that's a baseball field,
well,
right?
There's a reserve, so the baseball team,
right.
So they're scheduled.
It
would
be a conflict.
I think my understanding at the presentation was that there are times during the year when it's free, and that's when they were planning to have the proposed pop-up park. I think they're already clear.
I would argue that we successfully already have multiple events at personal ball fields that would qualify as a pop-up, including the town sleepover and the picnic where we both... Mm-hmm. Converge down there and use them in different ways than just mm-hmm. baseball. And I don't mind having a one-off or even, you know, here and here kind of thing. But to have a regular situation feels like the camel's nose under the tent. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
And it kind of puts us in a position... You know, it's like handing out candy to kids. You know, then you gotta go, oh, sorry, you can't have that. It's a very uncomfortable place to be when it's been worked around that way.
And
I just want to be careful about that early, because I think it could get very far, as we've seen with some of this other conversation. It kind of gets out in front of itself before we're prepared to have a conversation about it policy-wise.
And Courtney, again, this brings us back to the bigger, you know, conversation about the role of committees. Here's the council giving you direction. This is what we'd like to see. So if there's a runaway committee that decides, that's why we need these broader rules. I think it's really important to get those into place. Because we can give direction, but if they go ahead and decide, no, the pop-up park is going to be every day for the whole summer, as I have heard them say the city council, that's problematic.
Yeah.
Because that's
yes,
what they said
is.
At city council meeting when they were here, when they presented to us.
I'm so satisfied. I just want
to
make sure this got out and discussed
what the direction is.
So one question, I lived here for 22 years. I have never heard the sudden urge that we must have a park somewhere here. Excuse me, maybe I'm all day. My kids were born and grown here. We go to, there are lots of beautiful parks. Cuesta Park and Woods Park at the Los Altos Park. Shoe Park, Racanada Park at the Palo Alto, and this beautiful park. Shoreline Park. Those are really
How about
nice
our pathways?
Mm-hmm.
How about open space? We've got tons of parks around us.
Okay, so now suddenly the tension is at the Little League, and I don't understand. I'm just questioning to say, how come it suddenly gets so hot? Do we get more young kids? Do we have less young kids? Are we going to fight in the field because of personal ego?
I think it's another instance of the same thing, the committee, right? You know, again, let's have parameters.
I can assure the council and public, if they're interested, that Kavita and I are eagerly working towards getting a lot more information pulled together, and our hope is to bring back some sort of recommendation out of our subcommittee to this council in this year. That's how I would leave it. I think this ties in nicely to the survey conversation and surveying our residents about, you know, would you use it? Do you? How would you value it? And how much would be willing to pay for it?
Yeah.
Because what we're finding just in preliminary is there are other opportunities around town to do this. It doesn't have to be at the ball fields necessarily, but it could. Mm-hmm. We don't have an outcome yet. And I think that's, you know, really to sum up the whole conversation, I think that's what's been so uncomfortable about this, is we have got a committee that has come to an outcome before the rest of us have. And when I say the rest of us, I don't just mean the five of us and staff. I mean us as a community.
Right.
And so I think we have an obligation to survey everybody and kind of get our head around what's the use, necessity, costs, and then proceed with policy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, what we are trying to do is figure out whether this is what the community really wants. If this is what they want, absolutely, you know, let's do it. But does this really represent the view of the entire, you know, resident population of the town?
And now they want their money spent. Mm-hmm.
Right.
In addition to Courtney's comments, which I agree, also the our kids, they get little, we have such a great need for the park, and then suddenly they turn 20, 30, they're gone. I mean, I don't know, you got to consider that the people grow and they get older.
I know, next year, this year, hopefully.
Next year, maybe they'll go to college. I don't have anybody use the park anymore. I personally don't see a very huge, high part or need to develop park in Los Angeles Hill. I'm going to say that, people might hate me. I don't see the urgent need to
Michelle,
have a park.
You make a great point. The survey should say, if we were to build one, how would you use it? Because you may have residents who say, I want to walk my dog there, or I want to have a track that I can walk on, and my wife in a wheelchair can roll on, that's better than the...
So whatever the question comes, has to be
those questions are part of the survey.
All right, so I think we've all agreed that this is the topic that would be incorporated into the survey, and also if there are other issues relative to committees, that would be a part of the clarification component to that.
Yep.
All right. Okay, and so we also, Michelle brought up the broadband. Are there other infrastructure topics that we haven't talked about that we should be? Okay.